Worship wars didn't begin with the advent of praise choruses. In fact, we can go back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, and when the serpent comes to Eve, we see the first worship war, because when he tempts Eve into worshiping the created, both herself and the fruit, rather than God. Shane Wood, professor at Ozark Christian College, put it this way in a lecture on Revelation. He says, worship is war. You see, any time we lift our voices in honest worship, any time that we set our hearts attuned to God, we are battling the forces of our enemy. Any time we gather together to worship our mighty God, we are waging war and standing against Satan and his demons. You see, everything we choose to do in a worship service has meaning. Each one of them is an aspect of the spiritual war that we're in. With that in mind, over the next few weeks, we're just going to look at some of the things that we do on Sunday morning. We're going to examine some of the aspects of this that we call a worship service, and see how they play a part in that war that we are engaged in. And as we do that, we're just going to kind of discuss what they mean and why we do them. This morning, we're going to start with you and me. We're going to look at our presence. We're going to look at what the author, or why the author of Hebrews says, do not forsake the gathering together of yourselves, as some are in the habit of doing. We're going to examine why it is that we are here and what that means. So if you would turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, if you've been a part of the church, this is a familiar passage to you. It's the only parable that's recorded in all three of the synoptic Gospels, the parable of the sower. If you have a Bible, turn there. If you don't, if you need, there's Bibles in the pews in front of you or in the bottoms of the chairs in front of you there. If you've got an electronic device, that'd be great. Luke chapter 8. We're going to begin with the fourth verse this morning. It says, when a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil. As soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, he who has ears, let him hear. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, to you it has been granted to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns are these. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed on the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. I want to have you think this morning that you are the soil. You see, Jesus was telling this to those who were gathered around him, but in many ways to his disciples who would hear and would continue to hear. I want you to know this morning that I know that there are more reasons for our gathering together than what we're going to look at. We can gather together for fellowship. We gather together for the breaking of bread, for mutual encouragement, for lifting one another up, and even for celebration. But we're going to just ask, why are we here this morning? Why are we hearing the Word? Because presence, being here, is about hearing. Jesus, as He tells His disciples this parable, He tells them that there are four ways that they can hear the Word of God. There are four ways, and there are very possibly four different soils sitting here this morning in the pews with you and with me. There are possibly four different ways that you can hear the Word of God. Now, Jesus is talking about one particular aspect, and that is the point of coming to salvation, I know, but as I looked at this passage, as I considered this passage, I also understand that this can be the same for any Sunday morning when we come together. This can be the same for any time we gather together to study, to hear the Word of God. That there can be these four different scenarios. The first one is that we hear the Word of God and we're just not particularly moved. We come in and we hear the Word of God, but there are so many other things that we would rather be doing. That we come in and we have something on our heart that keeps us from really hearing the Word. You see me up here, and maybe I'm kind of like the teachers and the adults on Charlie Brown. All you're hearing is wah 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 wah, and you sit there for the time that the message is being shared. You sit there for the time that the prayer request, the communion meditation, the songs are being shared, and you're not being moved. There's nothing stirring within you. And now I know that is a very real possibility, because there are those days when, for whatever reason, we just are not particularly moved. The second way that Jesus says that we can hear the Word of God is that we can initially be moved, but we quickly forget. So you hear something, you're sitting down this morning and you hear something and it sounds good. And there is a point you say, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to keep that in mind. And by the time you get out the back door and to your car, you can't remember what it was that you told yourself you were going to remember. Because something has happened. Time has passed. And by the time you move out of here, Satan has worked. And we have quickly forgotten what it was that we heard. Have you ever been there? Jesus says that there's a third way that we can hear the Word, and that is that we hear the Word and we're moved, but we soon get too busy to act. We hear the message that the Bible speaks, we come in and we're moved and we really say, you know, that's something I need to do in my life, and we leave here and we go throughout the week and we begin to put into practice what it is that we've heard. And somewhere along the line in the week or a couple weeks following, life just happens. We had good intentions. We had the desire, but something else came in and took priority. And something took priority one day, and we said, oh, I'll get back to it tomorrow. And then something happens another day, and it gets pushed back, and we say, oh, I'll get back to it in a day or two. And pretty soon a day or two becomes a week, and pretty soon we forget what it was that we were trying to do. And we come in, and we hear the message, and we're moved and we really intend to let it change us and we really intend to change our life because of it. But it's only a short period of time and we've forgotten what it was. And Jesus says that the thorns of life come up and they choke out the seed that is the Word of God. And then he says there's a fourth way that we can hear. And this is that we don't just hear the Word, but we're moved by it. But we're not just moved by it. We are honestly changed because of what we have heard. There is something within us that dies and something within us that changes and life comes up. And Jesus says that from this there is a fruit. There is a fruit that is produced. Now as we look at this, we have to ask, what is the fruit that Jesus is speaking of? What is the fruit that's being produced? When reading the passage, we can say that most definitely the fruit that would be being produced is a change in our life, a growth, a maturity. So we might look and we might say with Paul, the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And we look at our lives and we see that those things are growing within us. If we really hear and the Word really comes in and changes us, we are growing in maturity in the fruit of the Spirit. Or maybe it's that our lives are changing. That the things that we used to do that would have drawn us away from God are no longer desirable, and the things that draw us to God become desirable. And we find ourselves longing and wanting more and more to spend time with God. And the Word comes in and the Word changes us. And if I read the passage right, there's a third type of fruit that must be being created, and that is the fact that if we are really hearing the Word and we are really growing in it, that we are in turn dropping the seed for other people. A mature plant that is growing and producing seeds, it reaches its point of maturity and the seeds drop and new life comes when the seeds are planted. If we are not growing and sharing the Word of God, are we really maturing? As I read this passage of Scripture, as I studied this passage of Scripture and thought about it, I came to this. I came to understand that I think as we sit here, as you and I are here this morning, I think we always fit into one of these four categories. But we don't always fit into just one category. In other words, if you came in a category 4 this morning, it doesn't mean that next Sunday you're going to come in with a category 4 hearing. You're not going to be at that stage all the time. That there are things that will move us on occasion from one category to another. And sometimes we'll come in and we'll be dealing with health issues that will have our minds somewhere else for the morning. Or maybe it's finances. Maybe it's some responsibilities of things that we have to do. Family. Maybe it's just the weather this morning. I don't know. We could go on and on, but here's what I know. There are things that keep us from always being at the same level and help us or keep us from reaching that level 4. But that should be our highest aim. Our highest aim should be listening, coming in and hearing the Word of God and seeking that we will be moved, that we will be changed, and that growth will occur within us. And so I just want to ask this morning, what does it look like on a Sunday morning to come in and to hear in that manner? What does it mean to come in and listen on a level 4 to try and give God the ability to change us? And to ask the question, why is it important? It begins by engaging our ears. You see, we often stop. We read a parable like this and we stop with Luke chapter 8, verse 15, because it seems like there is this change in thought. But as I read this and studied this, as I looked at what a couple of other people said about this, I realized that that probably wasn't where the intention of Luke was for us to stop reading. Because Luke goes on. He says, "Now one after lighting a lamp covers no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be come to the light. So take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him." When Luke says, listen, in verse 18, he says, take care how you listen. He ties it back to verse 8 where Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. Luke ties the two together, and we have to understand that he's finishing this statement. He's finishing this thought. And Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. And then he says, so take care of how you listen. And so here's what I want you to understand, is that we have to take care of how we listen. You see, part of the ability to reach that level 4 stage of listening, part of that ability to hear what Jesus is saying and to let it grow within us is being prepared to listen. It means that you do whatever is necessary to put aside the things that will distract you before you come into the presence of God. Whether that is here on Sunday morning, or whether that's during the week if you open up your Bible and you read the Word of God, or whether you stop and you listen to another preacher sometime during the week, when you do that, are you prepared or are you just filling space? You see, we have to be prepared to listen. We have to prepare our hearts. We have to prepare our heart minds. We have to come with the attitude that God is going to speak to me. That God is going to speak to us. And if I come to the Word and I just read it and let it go, if I sit and listen to a preacher preach and all I do is hear the words and I haven't been prepared, I haven't opened myself up and said, God, I will let you speak to me. God, I want to hear from you. God, I will let you work in my life. If I haven't done those things, then I'm not ready to listen. Not only do we have to be prepared, but we have to listen with a desire. We have to listen with desire. When we come in here together, one of the things that we should be listening for is we should be listening in search of unity. We should be listening with the idea that when I speak or when somebody else speaks from the Word of God, that we are listening for unity. We're listening for how we can be serving God together. That we're listening for the charge that God is giving. That we're listening for the correction that God is giving. The direction for us as a group. And we're listening for unity. Where we're listening, trying to understand the way that the church is supposed to be the church. We also need to listen with a desire for life change. You see, Jesus said that the seed fell on the ground, and this seed fell in the good soil, and in the good soil was able to grow and produce a crop 100 times as much. We have to come in and we have to be willing to let God work in our lives, and we have to expect that God is going to change us. Because I tell you that no growth occurs as long as a seed remains a seed. As long as a seed remains a seed, there's no growth that occurs. The seed has to fall into the ground and the germ has to begin to grow, and it has to break through the outer shell of the seed, and then it has to break through the top part of the outer shell of the seed, and pretty soon the seed itself isn't what's noticeable. It's the plant that begins to shoot up through the ground. And we have to come in with this attitude that we're going to allow God to come in and the Spirit to work in us, and that we will change. That we will let God work within us. And then we have to listen for growth, because sometimes it's not just change that we need. Sometimes it's just growth. Sometimes we just need to grow stronger in the things that we're already doing. And sometimes God just wants you to come in and say, make me better. Give me what I need to make me stronger. Give me what I need to be more accurate. Give me what I need to be more honest for you. And sometimes we just need to listen for growth. And we always need to be listening for the instructions to go. We need to be listening to what God says to us about going and doing what He has asked us to do. And we need to be listening for the message to take. We need to come in here and we need to listen to what it is that God is saying that we need to say to other people. Because we're not just supposed to go, but we're supposed to go with a particular message. A message of love, a message of hope, a message of encouragement. And sometimes the message that we take is always the gospel, but sometimes it's pieces of that gospel that other people need. And we need to come in here so that we can gather together and we can hear the gospel message fresh and anew, and that we can be prepared then to take it in the pieces that people need. And to give it to people in ways that they can understand, and that it has the ability to affect them. And most of all, we need to come in and hear the word with an attitude of humility and an openness to change, but not a desire to change others. You see, one of the things that bothers me most, and one of the things that I think the Scripture speaks pretty loudly against, and that is this, is that I need to change first. Jesus said, take the plank out of your own eye before you try to take the speck of dust out of your brother's eye. You see, all too often I hear people come in and they'll come in and say, that was a really good message. I wish so-and-so was here to hear it. And often knowing some situations, probably the person who wants somebody else to hear it is the one who really needs to hear it. If you come in and you begin to think, as I preach a sermon or somebody else speaks the message, and you begin to think somebody else needs to hear this, you need to stop and take a step back and say, God, humbly, do I need to change? Because more often than not, when we want to change somebody else, it's because we really need to change ourselves. And so we need to come in here with a desire to hear the Word. Not just a desire to hear, but a desire to really hear the Word of God. We need to engage our ears and to protect and nurture the Word with intrepid tenacity. We need to come in here, and when we hear the message and we hear the Word of God, we need to do everything we can to protect that message. And we need to nurture it. You see, you can't get enough of the message on Sunday morning. If this is your full dose of God's Word for your week, if this is the full dose of God speaking to you that you get, it's not enough. Because, well, we're kind of like colanders. We got a lot of holes in us, and things just kind of run out. If you want to keep it full, you just have to keep a lot of it going in. Maybe you can plug a few of the holes, but you just got to keep pouring stuff in. Because they weren't meant to keep. They're meant to give. But us, on the other hand, we are meant to grow in the Word of God, and we're meant to hear it, and it's meant to change us. And to do that, we have to protect and we have to nurture it with the greatest of care and the greatest concern. So that when we hear something that we say, that's something I need to do in my life, we need to find plans and we need to find ways to make it so that that is possible. Write it down somewhere. Make yourself a note. Type it into your notes on your phone. And then put it where you'll see it. And listen to the Word and protect it. And then add others to it to nurture it and help it to grow. And finally, we have to engage with our ears by allowing the Word to spread from you. You know, Jesus says, whoever has, more shall be given, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. And if you read that in the context, Jesus is talking about the light that's just before that. He's talking about the seed that comes from the plant that will produce 100-fold the harvest. And what is he saying? He's saying that if you hear the message and you just hide it and you just keep it within yourself, it will not grow. If you think that you can just hear the Word and you can just let it nurture there and you can just let it lay there within your heart and never do anything with it and never do anything about it and never share it with somebody else, it will not grow. It will stagnate and it will die. What happens at the Red Sea or at the Dead Sea? Stuff comes in and stuff has nowhere to go. And it just gets there. You see, maturity. If we're growing and we're engaged and we're desiring to go in maturity, you have to remember what we talked about last week. Maturity means that we must give the fruit that we have received. Maturity means that we must go. I like what John Piper said in a sermon he preached on listening to his church several years ago. He said, there are 10 things that we can do to prepare us to hear the Word of God. And I just want you to hear these this morning. He says, pray that God would give you the good and honest heart described in verse 15. If you really want to hear, you pray that. God, make me the good soil. 2, meditate on the Word of God and read portions of your Bible with a view of stirring up hunger for God. 3, purify your mind by turning away from worldly entertainment. There's a lot of things in the world that vie for our attention, but if you really want the Word of God to come in and grow in your life, you have to nurture the Word of God and not the things of the world. 4, trust in the truth that you already have. 5, get a good night's rest on Saturday night. Have you ever thought about the fact that what you choose to do on Saturday night affects how God can work in your life on Sunday morning? 6, forbear one another without grumbling and criticism. 7, come in a spirit of meek teachability. 8, be still as you enter the room and focus your mind's attention and hearts on the affections of God. 9. When this worship service begins, think earnestly about what is sung and prayed and preached. Dwell on those things as we go through the service. And 10, desire the truth of God's Word more than you desire riches or food. Desire the Word of God more than you desire riches or food. And when we can begin to do those 10 things, when we can begin to realize that we are hearing from God Himself, and we come with an earnest desire to hear from Him, we can then come into the point when Jesus said, some of the seed fell on good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. We can be the good soil. But you know what Jesus doesn't say? Jesus doesn't say when you go out and you begin to spread the seed, make sure that you spread it only on the good soil. He said, we spread it everywhere. And we try to be the good soil. We try to have our hearts prepared for the soil, or for the seed to be dropped. And then we grow in maturity. This morning, if you're a follower of Christ, I want you to just consider how you come in on Sunday morning, how you open up your Word during the week, how you approach this time of worship. Because the worship service isn't about you and it isn't about me. It's about Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the grave. It's about God who loves us and cares for us and made a way for us to have a relationship with Him. It's about taking the idols of this life and smashing them and worshiping only the true God. But that only comes as we come prepared as good soil to hear the Word. This morning, if you're a follower of Christ, I just ask you to just consider and just pray that God would make your heart malleable. That He would work and stir within you the desire to hear. If you're not a follower of Christ, you've heard the message. You've heard about the love of God. And I just invite you, if you don't know Him, to come and visit with me and we'll discuss what it looks like to have a relationship with Him. If you need to do that, you can come front as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning. You can catch me after church. Let's stand together as we sing this morning.